Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Yeah, I watch Formula One. I love Formula One. I watch every race. I was lucky to be there in part of that world. I still work for the French TV Canal Plus.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good. Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
The bad.
I'm scratching my head. The performances was just lacked that intensity.
And the amber.
Off the Ball's performance rankings.
Yeah, everybody's close in the studio this morning. The camera's been moved closer to us. We're packed here. And the Westmead scarf makes it look a little bit different because we're going to start with Gaelic football as a sport to determine what colour it is. Now, I would say, possibly, this is actually the only ambiguous colour left over. I, for one, right, before we get into our pass over to our honourable colleague here for the lap of honour again. So this was kind of absurd that you couldn't really watch these games, right? Yeah, the Leinster Senior Football Championship.
Yeah.
Unavailable. Certainly the Westmead game.
Yeah.
You had to be there.
Yeah, and luckily enough I was there. But for me it was fine. But it is one of those that, like, the game itself was unbelievable. Like, as far as drama goes, there was some moments of quality. I mean, on the Mead side they'd probably argue that they were terrible as far as the quality side of it goes. But as far as drama goes, it doesn't get much better than that, and for it not to be able to watch it is a shame for the rest of the country. But at the same time,
where was the game? The
game was in O'Connor Park in Tullamore, so it was a neutral venue. It was pushed back by a couple of minutes. It was a bit of hassle
trying
to get people in.
Did they announce the crowd?
Oh, they might have done. I didn't.
It looked packed out though. It looked full enough.
Focused on the football. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. It was fairly full. Like, the terrace was fairly jammed, barred a little bit of the corner, and same with the stand, and then the
more than 9,000.
Sorry,
more than 9,000.
That's not huge, actually. Really, is it?
It's not
huge. What's the Connor Park hold?
It says 18-20.
Yeah,
according to official records list, 18.
Yeah, well, I suppose there was no one really behind either goal. I suppose so. That maybe less.
That's the AI overview, and they also have a picture of the Sporting Lisbon Stadium beside it. So I suspect that, you know.
Yeah, it's slightly skewed.
The LLM still not working.
Yeah, but no, it would be great for these games to be able to watch them, but I'm not sure what the logic. I'm sure there is a...
It says 7,000 on Wikipedia. Look, who knows? Yeah. A new stand will hold 7,000, so there you go.
It was definitely severely Mead outnumbered Westmead.
Did they, yeah?
I don't know, it's tends to be the case.
No hope going into it, really, from the Westmead fans.
But you know, it's weird. Like, I think the general consensus before the game from the wider sort of GAA public was that Westmead will give Mead a game, but Mead win. And I think that maybe you translate a little bit to the Westmead fans. There's definitely, I think at Westmead there is a recognition for how good some of the players that we have are, but there's also a serious recognition for the fact that we've come up short pretty much every time over the last while. Like, there has been a couple of instances where we haven't, of course. And I think when you're going into a game like this, there was definitely a feeling for me that this is a nice time to be going to a game where we are, like, I know the word written off is thrown around a lot, but we're not expected to go and win this game. And there's a nice sort of thing of, there's not this expectation. Like, when you go to Wexford and we played that game, we were expected to go and win that game, and we should have, and we didn't. Whereas this was slightly different, we're not expected to go and win it, so we can have a bit of a shot at it. We played last week, we played very well. There was also a thing of, we're going to be tired come the last 10 minutes, which we were. And we retreated a wee bit, but yeah, there wasn't like this mad momentum, which has been building in Westmead football over the last kind of couple of months, as far as the underage stuff goes. Yeah. Beating Dublin in the minor, beating Dublin in the 20s, CBS winning the Hogan Cup, even before that, CBS and the Marist College over in Athlone playing out the Leinster Schools final. Like, a lot of those teams will cross over naturally with the 20s and the minors and those schools teams. Like, so there is a lot of, as far as that side of it goes, there's a lot of momentum, but there was a bit of stagnation, I suppose, with how the Wexford game went and that we didn't come back up to Division 2. But Mead also came in cold into this game, I suppose, and that can go one of two ways.
And this result has been coming for a couple of years. There's been so many games, we talked about it pre-show, that Westmead were just a kick or two away from winning, like big games, whether it be league or championship. And
it like you say, it almost turned out to be the exact same kind of result.
Yeah.
Let's hear from the people involved.
Yeah, Luke Loughlin's up first here. Have a listen.
Well, Luke, that was something special, wasn't it?
Oh my God, outrageous. But like, we were quietly confident coming into the game, like, you know, so I'm not too surprised that we won. But just with the, I mean, the build-up, the rivalry, how we won, just unbelievable, like, you know.
Chatting to a few guys there as well in your camp, there's a lot of that, I would call it siege mentality, but a lot of, we will show them.
We were probably written off a bit, like, you know, and a couple of us had probably points to prove there, like, you know, myself probably not playing as well as I had been, Wally maybe. I don't want to say anyone else because they'll think I'm putting them down, but probably had a bit to prove, you know, a couple of poor enough performances in Division 3 and very inconsistent. So a lot of us, you know, were under a bit of pressure today to perform, and hopefully I think we done that. So
the last couple of weeks after the league, obviously the Longford win, and now today, they've changed the narrative completely of your side almost.
Like, we were a kick of a ball away from the Division 2, like. And in sport, things happen from time to time. Like, we were cruising that game, and I think people kind of forget that we were cruising, and just a bit of a meltdown at the end, and it happens from time to time. And I suppose, like, if we had won that, we'd be talking differently coming into the championship. And the Longford game was a real banana skin last week. I didn't think we'd win by that much, to be honest. It just showed that, look, up front, when we move it well, we're flying like so.
He's been their talisman for so long, but those the first and third goals of the four Westmead goals, Matthew Whittaker and Shane Corcoran.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about Whittaker's goal for a long time. I thought Corcoran's goal was excellent as well. Finish.
Corcoran's was the third one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one he could have gone over the bar.
Yeah, true. It was a ridiculous goal. And he's a young lad, he's only 20. Shane Corcoran sort of hasn't really come from, like, he wasn't really there last year at all, naturally. He'd probably been playing under 20. And he started the game, a couple of times he got in kind of behind, went in around, and just couldn't quite have the pace or whatever, but he's a ridiculously quick lad, which showed in the third goal, and he grew into the game something major, and there was huge performances. But like, Luke Loughlin is and you say there, like, about him being the talisman for so long, and he sort of has been, but like, obviously we know all the stuff and how much he's gone through off the pitch and how well he's dealt with all that and how great of an ambassador he is for, I suppose, people of Westmead, outside of Westmead football too. And it's only really the last, since John Heslin has stepped away and since Ronan O'Toole, who was such a big figure in that Talent Cup victory, have kind of left the scene, he's really stepped up, like, to the mantle. And I mean, yesterday, I think he kicked 6 points yesterday. At the start of the game, they didn't fly out of traps really at all. It wasn't one of those where, like, you know, you're thinking meter cold here and Westmead have caught them early. It took a couple of minutes, the goalkeeper went off injured, Jason Daly came on, and then there was a bit of a break in play there.
Yeah, and in the build up to this game, and kind of as the season has gone on, if Meath were going to have an incredible year. People were talking about Jordan Morris as one of those people who was going to drive them forward. And he scores a beautiful point early on in the game. Like, oh, he's at it today.
Yeah.
And then nothing else.
Yeah. And it wasn't a case of, geez, you'd forget he was playing, because he was still involved. He was getting his hand on ball. He was taking lads on. He was beating lads. But it was every time he went to get a shot off, or every time he went to pull the trigger, Conor Dillon was doing a man-marking job on him and did. Well, I mean, you look at what he scored. He did that job to perfection, really. But there were so many lads there around him every time, and to keep a player like that quiet is, I mean, like, the best teams in the country struggled to do it last year, have struggled to do it this year, and for Westmeath to do it yesterday is obviously one part of an excellent performance all around. Like, Danny Scahill was playing at a cornerback yesterday as well, and there's a brilliant clip going around of he dispossesses, I'm not sure exactly who it is, at one point there in the second half, and it's a goal scoring opportunity, like, and he not only stops him, pushes him out to the side, he gets his hand in, and then he gets the ball and starts a counter attack. I don't know if we go and get a score from it up to the end, but there was two or three times he did that, and there was some heroic performances, like, all around in general. And it does come back to Luke Loughlin now, sobered up a wee bit on the Westmeath side of things. Like, that's the second game run he's gone off with a bit of a hamstring injury after 50 minutes or so, and if Clare obviously aren't the team that Meath are, but we'll struggle without Luke Loughlin.
Well, but that's just a hamstring injury. They're minding it because he looked in free running, and really Westmeath should have beaten Kildare last year in Newbridge.
I remember the time the first
Midfielder
half
went off.
Yeah, Ray Kinnellan went at the ball, like, the throw in, and went to run, and the hammy went as he was running. And luckily enough, like, Ray Kinnellan's still a savage footballer, like, an outrageous leap, like, we know him from going over to play Aussie rules, and he's still got a lot to offer for sure, but we're maybe not as reliant this year as we kind of had been last year, so they'll absolutely fancy it. But in the same breath, I'm sure Clare will be be fancying it too, you know, to a degree. I mean, more than they would be if it was Meath.
Let's hear from the man behind it all, the Westmeath manager, Mark McHugh.
We came with a game plan that we thought could trouble me today. We didn't have a wild lot of time to study them after during the week with the shortness of the turnaround. But you know, we stayed in Cusick Park until, you know, 12 o'clock nearly on Thursday night to make sure everybody was clear. And if there was any questions, the boys would let us know over the weekend. And they, to a man, to the letter of the law, carried out that game plan today. And you know, we bar maybe the last 5 minutes, we were comfortably, I thought, the better team in that day. And they put on a super performance, and they should be very, very proud of themselves.
The huge, I suppose, general consensus was that Meath were many people's tips to even...
I heard it a few times during the week.
Yeah, right? I'm sure he did. But that, I won't call it siege, but definitely, I know there's probably a Pat Sablan article as well, that you probably used as motivation for your side today.
Yeah, listen, we beat Longford last week, and we were watching the Sunday game, and Paul Flynn and Eddie McGinley were on it, and you know, I think there was an 72% poll for Meath to one Leinster, you know, and we love that. Why wouldn't you love that as an underdog going into a game? I think the bookies had us at one day, you know, Meath at one day to on, and you know, I'm not saying it doesn't give you pressure, because there's, you know, as a county footballer, there's pressure in every game you play, and you should put pressure on yourself to play well, and pressure is a privilege. You know, we're in a very privileged position to be out here today. And yeah, listen, there was different comments made during the week, and we referenced them, and we just figured out if we are able to do the job that we can do at the highest possible level we can do. And you could see lads that towards the end cramping and falling down because of the effort they'd given throughout the game. We were cruising there with 10 minutes to go, and we shouldn't have let them back into it, and that's disappointing, because you know, I'd like a few more years in my life instead of having, you know, early heart attacks or anything like that. So no, listen, I'm unbelievably proud man today. Westmeath people coming up to you after the game and them crying, you know, they don't have a huge amount of days like this. I think they've beaten Westmeath or Meath once in their history at championship level, and it's nice to be part of the second one.
That's Jonathan Higgins talking with Mark McHugh after yesterday's victory for Westmeath. Jonathan mentioned it there in the interview. A lot of people talk about Meath beforehand, of course. We're talking about Leinster favourites on Friday, Dara, yeah. you, me, and Shane. Let's hear from Robbie Brennan after Meath's loss.
Do we have Robbie Brennan? You're right, we started well and missed a couple of chances, you know, three 2-point chances we missed, and if they go over, you'll probably come in at half time a different story. Having said that, we still weren't at the pitch of it. That's the reality, you know. Westmeath looked that bit hungry and sharper, hunting and chasing us down and things, and we just didn't get there, probably into the last, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, when we obviously looked like it was going away from us. Lads dug in, but yeah, that's probably it, unfortunately. Yeah. One of them is probably sloppy in our half, on our side, and the other one, I thought we had it, and then it, you know, one of those that bounces 2 or 3 times, I think, and they come away. But again, that's credit to Westmeath. I said that to Mark, that he had them really firing today, and they were the better team for sure.
It's a couple of those, I think, the goals perhaps as well, were turnovers high up the pitch as well. They're you know, they were blistering, and like you guys normally are, but they caught you, those big sucker punches.
Yeah, and we would have looked at that beforehand. Obviously, you know, the one thing you could see from them was their transition was fantastic, and they've got some real speedsters who can hurt you in those areas. So yeah, I wasn't surprised that they were able to cause us a problem in that regard. But as I said earlier, you can't give the ball away and win football matches, unfortunately.
How do you assess things now? It's going to be a difficult dressing room. Still a lot to play for in the All-Ireland series, but that gap that you talked about there, it's kicking the teeth for your guys.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and we've said that to the lads. You know, they have to accept now they're going to have a bit of a low for whatever number of days, and that's fine. And a bit like last year, you have to accept that and allow that to happen. But like, there's only two options: you either stop or you go forward, and we'll be going forward for sure.
Yeah, going forward, a bit of a break now, Meath. Joe, what about Kildare? 220 against Laois's 215.
Yeah, for those of us in the south of the county, the Laois thing is a real rivalry. You know, there'd be a lot of ghosts from Laois performances in the past. And also, it's a terrible league. So they needed to get that dirty diesel out of the tank. I do think it's largely a 50-50 game against Westmeath. Kildare will be favourites just by virtue of the fact that they were in a higher division last year. But I think that's wrong. I think that it should be a point either way. Mm. I haven't seen them. I was looking for prices there and there's nothing yet, but... I'd actually make Westmeath slight favourites given the fact that they've got two wins on the bounce. And I'm obviously not just saying that. Like,
fine.
Kildare's performances haven't been good this year. Now, they had a couple of kids who played really well in this game. Uh-huh. And that's what everybody in Kildare wants to see, is those lads coming through, because
yeah,
that's the future.
Who's having Louth retaining Leinster?
Yeah.
Anyone here?
I mean,
everyone here.
You'd make them favourites now.
25-11 point victors against Wexford.
yeah, you can say it without saying it. Like, yeah, they're definitely,
because Dublin struggled, lads, big time.
Yeah, it's major. Yeah.
Mark Jackson won by 2 points. 6 2-pointers,
and that's not him at all. Like,
he's the best 2-point goal kicker, the goalkeeper in the country over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, he's good at that. So they'd be disappointed. Yeah.
If you had the game back, Dara, Ulster senior football quarter final, Monaghan 27, Cavan 2-14. They didn't start very well. They were 9-1 down, I think.
Yeah.
1 point to start this match. But at the end, this was a contest.
It definitely was. So 7 points in the end. I think at the same time, like, we left a lot of chances out there. I think it was 2 or 3 clear-cut goal chances we missed, plus a penalty, Paddy Lynch. Rory Began was unbelievable. Now, he left a few points out there as well, probably, but he made a couple of great saves towards the end of the game. And also, it was just his kickouts. He's like, it's nothing new that Rory Began is good at kickouts, but the way he disguises his options, like, he's probably the best in the country at it when he's on it. Look, it's a disappointing one. Like, Paddy Lynch had this unbelievable 2-pointer. I think it was in the first half off a free. He was about 55 yards out, and the commentators were kind of like, he's not going to take this, is he?
Mm.
It was like the Ronaldo free kick. Was that against Porter, was it?
Yeah.
He smashes it from about 45 yards out, and everyone's like, oh, he's not going to take this now. And he does. He sweeps it over the bar, and kind of from there, you're thinking, right, might have something here. If Paddy Lynch is kicking well, we can get back into this game. But then he missed a few frees from outside the arc, and then it just felt like we were never really in touch of distance. Now, we did get it down to 4 points at one stage, and Darragh Lovett had a great chance at a goal straight off the back of their kick out. Would have brought it down to 1 point, but Rory Began saves, goes over the bar. So it went down to 3, but then Monaghan pushed on, got a couple of scores back to back, and that was about it. Disappointing, but I don't think we expected to win. We're not firing right now. Had a poor league campaign. So I think it's very much a process under Dermot McCabe.
Saturday's quarter final saw Derry handily beat Antrim 223 to 113. Sorry, you saying?
No, I was just going to say, just because obviously Dermot McCabe was over Cavan, I was over Westmeath last year. Yeah. So it would have been kind of the man at the helm for a lot of those narrow defeats and Division 2, and there would have been a lot of narrow defeats as well when Desi Dolan was in there after Jack Cooney left, obviously after winning that Talton Cup. I think Mark McHugh deserves a lot of credit.
100%.
Yeah. Like, look, it's easy to say now, obviously, after getting over the line in a game like that, but I remember thinking at the time, and I know people have a lot to say about the pre-season tournaments and what value they have and what merit you can take away from them, but Westmeath obviously won the O'Byrne Cup this year, beat Kildare in the final of that, and found themselves 7 or 8 points down in the second half, and managed to claw their way back in and almost threw it away and then didn't throw it away and then won. And at the time, I remember thinking, do you know what? For any other county that maybe are winning O'Byrne Cup, they can dismiss and move past it. And like Westmeath had won it a couple of years ago as well. And that's all well and good. But the manner in which they won it, I think, being able to hold on, I think subconsciously, the players probably wouldn't have even been thinking about it at all yesterday. But even just on looking going, there's not an outrageous amount of similarity, but just it's no harm for a team, I suppose, to have in the back of their mind that, well, we've done this before, albeit the stakes not as high and the team not as high in quality. But I think on the face of it, it's clear that Mark McHugh has added something in there. He was obviously there last year with Dermot McCabe.
I would say that this would potentially, for Gaelic football this weekend, would have been an amber, possibly a red, for the games being somewhat predictable in outcome and very little televised aspect of it, except for the fact that Westmeath go and meet.
Oh, it's a massive shock.
So that itself, I think,
I think Dublin the rattle as well.
I suppose that was minorly interesting. Yeah, yeah. It was. It was just the fact that there's so little exposure to this.
I'm kind of thinking about it.
They just played every game in Croke Park all the time until they suddenly weren't.
That's
a big
great
deal
for Dublin.
Suddenly Wicklow are competitive with them. What is going on?
I'll give it a green for Westmeath alone. Like,
give some Oisín McConville some credit as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's done a good job then.
I think it has to be a green. I will say, I'm kind of thinking about it a bit more now. It is a bit mental that none of those games were able to be watched.
What's the story like?
Unless you're
mad,
I think that is a bit mad, isn't it?
What is the point of GAA Plus?
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
What were they doing yesterday instead? Like, unless they were short-staffed, there was literally a problem.
The hurling was obviously on from 2 o'clock till...
That was on RTE.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be, I know. It doesn't have to be an amazing 5-6 camera ordeal.
I'm sure they're going to say it's rights deals, but it's rights deals with themselves.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Maybe they're reeling after New York Roscommon debacle.
They obviously had cameras at the Westmead Mead game because they have the highlights.
Yeah, they had commentary. The same player Leash game had commentary for the Sunday game.
Get a dedicated sports channel on terrestrial television.
Yeah, it's just strange. It's just strange.
Get a sports channel and just play highlights when you're not showing live games.
Yeah, it's not, it's not one of these. You couldn't watch it if you were abroad or that, could you? It was not like, do you know,
it's
like
just checking it. It's not on the.
Anyway, we'll give it green.
It is a bit
for sake it's of the West
Mead game. It was a great weekend of football, yeah.
Now, was association football green at the Etihad yesterday if you were festooned with the hurling? And just reeling in the Westmead glow.
We're burying the lead.
Manchester City beat Arsenal.
The Villa game was one of the greatest, Premier League matches.
Great result, yeah.
At least it was televised. But it did go missing.
At least
Arsenal are 3 points clear this morning of Manchester City. But of course, Man City have their game in hand, which is at Turf Moor against Burnley on Wednesday.
That goal difference should be overturned.
And the goal difference, at the moment, Arsenal have a 1+ superiority over City, 37-36.
City have scored more, so they will be.
Yesterday at 1-1, if they had been level at the last day of the season, everything was level. It would have been a playoff. It would have been exactly the same goal scored. Right. But that's not going to happen now. So City went 2-1. Now, I had in my notes when Ryan Cherki scores his lovely individual goal.
Beautiful.
I had it that City aren't going to come, or Arsenal aren't going to come back. Bit of the League Cup thing in it. And then within 100 seconds, they get the equaliser. But it's really of Donnarumma's making. Now, Havertz keeps chasing the ball. Fair play to him. He gets them down, you know. And then after that, Arsenal's next shot is on the hour mark. This is such disappointment by Arsenal. This is so typical of Mikel Arteta and Arsenal from the 15th to the 60th minute. There's nothing happening. Nothing. And then after that, Arsenal come and play. So Havertz has the one-on-one. Eze hits the inside of the post. Then Gabriel hits the post. And then Havertz has his header deep in injury time. This could have easily ended in a draw. It would have been superb for Arsenal. And you just wonder, you'll go back to that Kai Havertz header deep into injury time at the end of the season. What will happen?
Yeah, it just gets under, doesn't it?
It feels like the thing that people want to talk about in this game is not Arsenal battling or anything like that, because I think that would be an unfair summation of what actually happened. It was a good match. Should Gabriel have been sent off? And why wasn't he sent off? And why were both Gabriel and Haaland given the same punishment when Gabriel leaned his head in and Haaland was there? It was strange.
Yeah, I'd be very quick to be like, oh, you can't be sending lads off for not doing much. Like, you know, there's not much of it. But like, that's just ridiculous. Like, that is just a red card. Like,
it's always a red card.
You can't shove your head in like that. That's never been an acceptable thing. Like, that's always been something that's been punished. How himself and Haaland have gotten the same punishment is a bit ridiculous, to be honest.
Very GAA.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, take one and move on and no one's any worse off. But Gabriel got absolutely ragdolled by Erling Haaland yesterday.
Is there any part of Haaland that will regret not having him be missing for 3 games now?
Maybe.
That, like, because afterwards he was saying, look, I'm only going to ever roll over if something egregious happens to me.
I have a lot of respect from him.
Yeah.
At the same time, I hear you.
Yeah, well, like, come on. This is a 3-game ban.
I hear you.
Suddenly Arsenal are, like, very flaky.
Yeah.
Very flaky is a good word to use, right? What about this from Opta Joe? Arsenal suffered 7 defeats in 55 games this season. 7-55, very good. The first 49 games, they only lost 3. But in the last 6 matches, they've lost 4.
Arsenal in April.
This is the point. We're saying all year long, you know, about Arsenal. So is there anyone in this room who thinks at this stage Arsenal are going to win the Premier League?
No, I said 2 weeks ago they wouldn't, so won't be changing now.
I remember saying at Christmas that I couldn't back Arsenal. I couldn't get behind them to win something until they've actually done it, just with the nature of how they've not done it over the last while. But then I think at some point over the last couple of months, I definitely will have said, I know Arsenal will win it just by default, because Man City didn't look like they were going to do it. But it turns out Man City didn't really have to go and do it. You know, they're playing well now, of course they are
playing well,
but like, they haven't had to go on this mental run. Like, they've got 5 games left now and they've just have to win them all and they'll be sweet. Now there is some tough ones in there. I think they play Everton away. Is it a Monday night? 8 o'clock kickoff. That screams tough game, but at the same time,
toughish.
Like, yeah,
you're going to win the league, you're going to be Everton away from home.
Exactly, yeah, but it's more just the kind of under the lights aspect of it. I actually think on paper City have a tougher running, just as far as
what teams have
to play for. But I just think Arsenal's heads are gone. I think they're gone.
Arsenal are busy, like, so they have obviously the Champions League semi-final to contend with against Atletico.
So Man City have Southampton in the FA Cup semi. The fixtures, it's, as you said, it's Burnley away, it's Everton away, it's Brentford at home, it's It's Bournemouth away, and it's Palace in the final day of the season, who will be preparing
and
for
Villa.
The Villa in the final
Villa's
day.
The last day.
Sorry,
there's
one, two more
games.
There's
one before, yeah.
And then it's Villa on the... Now that's scheduled for the 22nd and the 24th.
It'll be changed if they get to the FA Cup final as well.
The Palace game will obviously be moved, will it? Or will the Villa game... No.
Palace game will move, the Villa one won't. Villa's last day of the season, it'll happen.
Arsenal but by that stage, Villa will be safe.
Yeah. And that's
and
the thing.
Have a, and there's a 50-50 chance that they'll have a Europa League final place to play for.
Have you seen Arsenal's games?
Yeah. It was
they're handy, like.
Look at them, yeah.
Handy on paper. Home to Newcastle, their season's done. They're done. They lost at home to Bournemouth at the weekend.
See, this is the thing, though. Teams will get a kick out of going and getting one over Arsenal.
Yeah,
Newcastle hate Arsenal.
Sunderland at home. Sunderland don't have that much to play for at this stage, but they went and rattled them.
Yeah.
Arsenal home to Fulham.
Sense of freedom.
Then they go to West Ham.
Yeah.
Then they're home to Burnley.
Good luck at West
Ham. They go to Crystal Palace.
Good luck at West Ham. Good luck at West Ham.
I don't know. I think, could West Ham also be safe by then? Well, how soon is that? 3 games time?
Yeah. They win their next three. Spurs lose their next three. Spurs, what about Spurs?
Oh my goodness.
I mean, Xavi Simons is getting daggers on social media all weekend for celebrating wildly in the 77th minute when he put Spurs 2-1 ahead. It's a beautiful goal, in fairness. See Karen Matoma's goal in this match?
That was amazing.
Oh my God, the volley into the roof
finish.
Of the net.
Very Matoma
but,
finish.
Very. The Brighton equalised deep in injury time. Heartbreak for Spurs. They're running out of games.
Do you know what?
It's in the relegation zone.
Spurs are far too emotional. They're far too up and down with everything. When Simon scores, it's a brilliant goal, it's a brilliant moment, and it's like, and I'm not being a celebration police at all, but it's like, it's mad how this is like, oh, this is it, this is the moment when we've got like 20 minutes left to play a game. And then you can see right at the end, I know it's heartbreaking, I know it's bad, and
they're
players
crying.
Are almost crying after
they
the
are,
game.
Yeah.
I'm like...
There's still 2 minutes left, really, if they get the ball down quickly.
And that's one side of it, yeah, but it's also, you're playing against a team, Brighton, who actually before a game coming into it were, I think... top, if not very close to the top of the table as far as form had gone in the last 8-10 games, whatever it was, and you're coming away with a point, which is not what you want, not what you should have got. But to go from the elation, everything that happens is either 100% or 0%. There's no middle ground with them whatsoever, and I think that's because, and it comes back to the point that was made so long ago about them not having the players that are used to being in a fight like this, is that they don't know what they're in, they don't know what's going on here. And that's going to be the ruination of them, like, because the team, like, that was a massive win for Forest at the weekend as well. And I know they're a little bit ahead and they've obviously got Europe to be contending with, so they're going to be alive. But I don't know, I was looking at Spurs. That's the first time I've properly sat down in a while and watched Spurs and I got a read of them. And I was like, this is crazy what
like,
I'm looking at here.
Richarlison did that 3 times this season, where he scores a goal late on, celebrates as if it's the game, and then they go and concede straight after.
Mm.
So it's a trend for them this season as well.
I can't wait for them to go down. It'd be great. Oh, it would be amazing. And the teams coming up are all going to be interesting. It's going to be
Coventry. I'm still confirmed
like,
to come up.
Looking like Coventry and Ipswich. Ah, oh, don't get me started. Ipswich, the luckiest team in the Championship there yesterday, played off the park by Middlesbrough. Got handed a penalty in the last minute for the 4th time this season.
Got away with a draw. Scored a great goal, though.
Brilliant goal, yeah. Alan Brown got a great assist for Middlesbrough in the same game. So,
if only we were going to the World Cup, we'd be doing great.
We always get back to Prague.
Norcal says, unfortunately, Liverpool gets Champions League slot will stay. Liverpool are a really bad coached side. Speaking of Liverpool coaches, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. What English club did he play for? 0879 180 180 is the Brayburn competition this morning. We'll pick one winner. They will get a €100 Brayburn voucher. Give us as much detail as possible when entering on WhatsApp. What English club did Giovanni Van Bronckhorst play for? How about that, though? Liverpool badly coached. They were lucky to win yesterday. The goal to the Hill Dickinson, the first ever Merseyside derby there. Beto scores the first goal for the home side. You see his 1-1? Where he was...
Hits the corner flag.
Corner flag. Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah. To get with Beto. Good finish, though, eventually.
I think it was an offside.
2-1.
It was an offside.
Virgil gets the winner.
No, it was the other one.
He just missed it,
This was kind of a real throwback 2018-19 era of the goal scorers of Liverpool. Mo Salah and Virgil van Dijk. Yeah. But the crack is gone. Like, party's over.
Mm. Yeah. Should we put a colour on football?
Chelsea, their first time in since 1993.
Emi Martinez saved Aston Villa season yesterday.
I'll put it in green, right? This time last year, the Premier League was done. There was nothing to talk about. It was just titles, relegation. They were done. It was a Champions League place. So this is interesting, this Premier League season. That's a green. How about hurling, right? So Cork, as you said there at the very start, avenged the loss of last year's All-Ireland final. It's done now. We've officially recovered. after that. So we win yesterday, Cork. Let's hear from Ben O'Connor, should we? This is the Cork senior hurling manager, Ben O'Connor, talking in the aftermath of that glorious victory yesterday. Have a listen.
Yeah, just delighted to get 2 points in the bag, and we'll drive on now for next week.
Yeah, it was a match that was tense up until midway through the second half, and you seemed to get a run on Tipperary. Those few points seemed to be the difference in the end.
Yeah, look, I suppose there's a lot at stake in these matches, and like when you go away from home, there's extra pressure. You're playing the All-Ireland champions from last year, so that's an extra pressure against. But I think when we got our purple patch, we got a couple of scores, so we got a few shots off Hendy at that stage, and we they went over the bar, and we kind of drove on from there. And I don't think we ever looked like losing the game from then on.
Did you mention the All-Ireland final last year in the build-up, or the league final, or you know, was there any motivation needed like that?
No. No motivation. We've a crowd of fellas down there that are training since last November, and obviously we addressed it at the start about the All-Ireland final last year, and that back of the head straight away. Then after that, league final was the league final. We're disappointed we didn't win, but we'd only 2 weeks to get ready for this after. So if you're starting out the start of the year, this was the most important game that we've had so far.
Business as usual. Yeah,
he's not getting too excited.
Darragh Fitzgibbon, that photograph that we had of Ben and Darragh Fitzgibbon on the pitch afterwards, does look like Darragh Fitzgibbon's in tears. So there was obviously a lot of emotion involved for the team for various reasons, and they clearly had altered their game plan from what we saw in the league final. There was a vanilla aspect to the game planning. We talked about that afterwards. That was with Vinny. Vinny's like, you can't just switch it on. Like, he was right though. League form has continued for Kilkenny, for example. But I do think
that's a Kilkenny issue overall. Like,
the preparation was maybe we won't put our best man marker on Aaron Glenn, and we'll see. It'll be different next week.
How about the evolution of Barry Walsh in this game? Mm. So he starts off by trying to be fancy in the middle of the park, getting dispossessed. Oisín O'Donoghue, who puts it over, and Barry Walsh, and welcome to Championship Hurling. Then by the end of it, he's having himself.
Yeah,
it was a hell of a game.
Kids are all right.
By the Tipperary aspect, energy was used afterwards to describe the performance, or lack of, in the second half. Well, we have a listen to the Tipperary senior hurling manager Liam Cattier in the aftermath of their defeat to Cork.
Yeah, I know it takes huge energy to do that, and you know, first real pitch of high intensity Championship hurling. You know that, you know, you can see definitely the way Cork, I suppose, the league final hasn't done them any harm, I suppose, in relation to their preparation for today. They finished finished strong enough, like, but they during that middle area of the second half, they really had the upper hand. And as I said, it took us a while to come to grips with it. But we have lots to take away from it. We have no choice. We have a huge game now in 6-7 days' time in Welsh Park, and we just have to go back tomorrow night, get a few little things ironed out, get back with our personnel ready to go to Welsh Park in 7 days' time. Cork are a really good team, as you know. They have some on their day when they're moving well. They're a really hard outfit to stop, and you know, when you're putting out one fire, another one appears somewhere else, and that's what good teams do. And we were you know, happy enough at half time, I suppose. You know, felt we could have been slightly ahead maybe, and we put a big emphasis on starting the second half, which we really didn't get into quick enough maybe for our liking. But again, look, in the aftermath, it's very hard to assess it. We'll have to have a real look at it and fix a few little things that popped up today, and go to Welsh Park with a real pep in our step now, because we have to. It's a huge game for both sides.
Due to the Championship, like, your Tip could be in big trouble after this weekend coming, you know. But this is a weird game, because there's only 2 points in it with 20 to go. Then Cork are 9 ahead with 10 to go. Then at the end, there's only 3 points in it.
Yeah.
So, like, Patrick Collins has to make a save. If that goes in, there's a point in it.
Cork missing a lot of frees. If they fix that,
Tim O'Mahony from distance, yeah. Like, sure, they lost their iconic free taker. But they sorted that out. That's what I mean. They sorted stuff out as the game went on yesterday. That was probably one of the most impressive aspects of it. The other game in the Munster Championship yesterday as well, we should mention before we move on. Oh, my God. Clare Waterford. They were level, was it 10 times?
In the first half alone.
Yeah. That's a heartbreak for Waterford. I feel so sorry for them in this Munster Championship. And how it's gone for them over the years since 2018. It's it's not like they give up. Like Clare win this by 6 points. So if you watch it, you think it's somewhat comfortable. It's not like Clare scoring the breakaway at the end.
Yeah.
Waterford are pushing right up until the death. And it's just more heartbreak for them. You'll actually see the reaction of Peter Queedy on our social channels Do you want to give a colour to hurling before we move back to something that huge, we previously talked about?
Huge win for Down over Antrim as well.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah.
Second one in a couple of weeks.
Another Davy Fitz.
Mm. Oof. Yeah. I think we'll talk a bit more about that during the week.
I'm going to give this green because of the start of the Munster for that Clare Waterford game alone.
Sorry, the Offaly Hurlers, Offaly's performance, again. Adam Screeny.
Please tell me all.
Charlie Mitchell coming back after, you know, for a little while.
Myocarditis. Yeah. Unbelievable stuff. Yeah.
Cracking goal as well. Brilliant finish.
Just before we move on to the rugby to complete this morning's performance rankings, what do you make of the first 20 minutes of the show? Let us know. Stevie Maxson, the sooner Westmeath get knocked out, the better, so we don't have to listen, talk about them for 20 minutes on a Monday morning after a packed weekend of sport.
I'm sure Stevie'd rather talk about the Mighty Mead for 20 minutes and suck all the joy out of his Monday morning. That's all I have to say. I'd like Stevie to let us know what he would want to talk about. Do you want to talk about United's win over Chelsea on Saturday night? That was great, wasn't it? What a match.
Feel free to reply there, Stevie.
History was made there on Saturday, Dara. You ran it in Galway. Ireland against Italy. No big deal that Ireland are beating Italy, let's say. Last year they hammered them in Parma.
Yeah.
So it wasn't so much the result, but the attendance, the location.
Yeah.
And then eventually the performance.
That was it, yeah. I suppose Italy can cause Ireland issues and have done over the last few seasons at the odd time. But yeah, it was a fairly one-sided game, particularly in the first half. Dan O'Brien was excellent. Her kicking was brilliant off the tee, but out of hand as well was spot on. She had a bit of a masterclass, to be honest. It was over, 9,200 the official attendance, which is a home record for Ireland. Now, we know that that's already been beaten by the Scotland game on the last week. I think there's 16,000 tickets sold for the Aviva on that day. First time, obviously, a women's game out in the sports grounds in the Dexcom, so that was a little bit of history as well. And there was a great crowd at it. It was a great atmosphere and lovely evening in Galway. So we'll obviously be talking to Suzanne and Quinny about that. But I suppose looking at that game, particularly in the first half, they were smashing them, and it kind of felt like, what we were talking about last week. This team is a bit better than some previous seasons. They've more in them than just getting beaten well by England. And there's some real quality players like Beth and Parsons.
Hat-trick.
Scored a hat trick. She was excellent. Robin O'Connor on the opposite wing got a try in her debut. It was an outstanding performance in that first 50, 60 minutes. Took the foot off the pedal a little bit, but game was won. Game was done by then.
Listen, the only reason this won't be a green weekend for Irish rugby is Ulster.
Yeah, letting the team down. At least it was to another Irish province, though. That's the only thing.
We talked about this on Friday, lads. You were away, we'll let you know. Disrespectful was a word used, but Leinster's lineup. They made 12 changes to the team from the previous weekend, the Champions. They're going up to us, they're not taking this seriously. Jeez, the result was very serious there after a while.
Yeah, can it be disrespectful if they go and win? Is it only disrespectful?
I have to eat my words now, yeah totally. My main point was that for their own sake going into Europe, they should be playing their best 15.
They're going to be undercooked now for their big game.
I did say it was a little bit. I thought we'd go out and smash them, to be honest.
Yeah.
I thought we would.
Yeah.
That's not what happened.
Connacht, by the way.
A bit like Mead over there.
We don't have the history over over Leinster.
Leinster are like Westmead, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Powerhouse.
Connacht in South Africa.
Yeah, that was probably slightly lost over the weekend, but that was an unreal performance. Mm-hmm. That was 12:45 on Saturday, so it was right at the start of the weekend, essentially.
Great time for a game.
Yeah. I was actually in Galway for the Ireland game, so I was watching it in the pub there, and it was unreal. Like Stormers were, I suppose, an emotionally charged game for them because Christopher Chippy Solomon's their team manager, passed away there recently, so they had a nice commemoration for him at the start of the game, and John Dobson was in tears along with other players as well before the game. So kind of thought, right, Connacht are in for a bit of a hiding here, because there's no way they're going to let themselves lose this game. But Connacht were just, they just wouldn't go down. They're down 9 or 10 points with about 20 minutes to go, kicked on then. John Devine gets a try as well as Ben Murphy. And yeah, I couldn't really believe what I was seeing. It's not often any team goes down to South Africa and wins comprehensively like that, particularly not against a pretty strong Stormers side. I know there's some issues down there with team selection and stuff, and there's a few fans criticising John Dobson at this end of the season, but unreal results for Connacht. And it'll go a long way now for their playoff hopes and European hopes for next season.
This is green all day?
Yeah.
That's your performance rankings?
Off the Ball's performance rankings.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.